Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
He's a slap to wrap up Week 12 in the National Football League coming up later this hour. But for now, Ken and I have got to finish getting you ready to bet on Week 13 in the National Football League. P squared, B squared continues now. So, Jake, if we could kindly drop that YBYB recommends. The nation's been waiting for it since Super Bowl 18, the rematch, Raiders and Washington. Well, maybe not since Super Bowl 18 because they played a bunch since then. But anyway, it is a Super Bowl 18 rematch here. And a very interesting line for this game, Ken, at our show sponsor, Bet Rivers. So the Raiders coming off their 36-33 overtime win on Thanksgiving against the Dallas Cowboys. Washington off the 17-15 win on Monday Night Football over the Seattle Seahawks. The line at Bet Rivers, the Raiders, 2.5-point home favorites, total 48.5. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank. Raiders and the Washington football team.
Whew, man, a tricky game, I think. I think I'm going to be pencil Raiders on this game, I think. But I think it's, like, really tough to figure out. And there's, like, one really specific reason for that. The Monday Night Football game last night kind of gave you, like, a really interesting window. And I did this a little bit last segment, but we can, like, apply it more directly to this week's games. Gave you a little bit of a window into basically two teams passing each other going in opposite directions up and down the league. And how much of the discrepancy between my number and the market do you attribute to Seattle being rated way worse? Like, all right, we're done with them. They stink. They lose to everybody. How much was that? And how much was a Washington team that has righted the ship a little bit, trying to figure out, like, how much was one and how much was the other, will actually, I think, lead you to two really dramatically different conclusions about this game. So if a lot of that market last night was no, like, Seattle's, like, whatever, but Washington's way better, like, if that's your opinion, then this number's too much. Like, this number needs to be pick or one or something like that. If you're of the opinion that most of the market difference in last night's game versus my number or versus your number or whatever was actually Seattle's way worse, so we're using the old Washington number that we brought into the game.
Yeah, I'm operating as if Russell Wilson's actually Geno Smith at this point.
Yeah, so that's how I'm inclined. I'm inclined to perceive it the same way. I'm inclined to not change my Washington rating very much off last night's game and give Seattle a massive drop, actually, is sort of what I'm inclined to do. If we do that, and Nick's kind of hopping in and out here a little bit, but if we do that, if we use the Washington rating that we brought into last night's game into Monday Night Football, and we don't change it at all, then this number actually needs to be like 3 or 3.5 on Vegas. It's actually a kind of, at least to me. But it's, you know, you leave open that little window of possibility that maybe it was both teams last night and you're trying to kind of like parse out like the ratings increases and decreases the right way, in which case the number's like fine, I guess. But there's really like, I think it's more likely that Vegas is the valuable bet in the game. I have not bet the game yet. I'm still unsure if I'm going to bet it, but I do show a little bit of line edge on Vegas at under three, basically. So I'll be kind of curious. I might have to think a little bit more about this one throughout the week because of some of the variables that I mentioned.
I'm at pencil 0.25 right now, I would say. So pencil veering towards Penn. I'm with you, Ken. I'm on the Raiders here. I make the number like 3.5 or 4. I think Vegas should be more than a 3-point favorite in this game. And it's funny, right? Because we'll get to our conversation about the Niners and the Seahawks in just a second, those two teams playing on Sunday. I feel like Russell Wilson is basically Geno Smith right now. Like, I think that's kind of how they need to be viewed. And I think kind of the mistake that I made handicapping the game last night was that I expected Russell Wilson to be Russell Wilson. And Russell Wilson is clearly not Russell Wilson at this point. Now, you can blame that on whatever you want. We got some people, conspiracy theorists, like, oh, well, he's throwing games intentionally because he wants out and he hates Pete Carroll. It's like, or his finger is just really messed up and like he can't drive the football and he's scared of taking hits and he's standing there like a gargoyle in the pocket and he's not one, right? Because we've seen
like Russell Wilson's throwing games, really. Like, think of the quarterback involved here too. It's not just any quarterback. Like, it's just like, and also like if it was ever remotely possible that he was doing anything nefarious, like his value, he becomes like Ben Simmons, basically. I mean, he becomes like a player nobody would want if that was actually what the behavior
isn't
was.
Isn't that one of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not point, shave, and throw football games? I feel Russ is a really religious man.
I think it was in the originals, and then the tablets went back up to the mountain, right, and then new ones came down. That one, I think, didn't make the second cut. I think that's how it works.
It's like, do not pass go, do not collect $200, you go straight to hell if you're throwing football games.
It's like, wait, I thought it was don't point, shave, and be like, nah, they took that off and they put covet neighbor's wife on instead. They swapped them out. It was a switcheroo.
Hey, and for Russ, that might be a good thing, because his wife is not ugly with Sierra, so maybe a good thing for Russell Wilson here. But I think we have to operate under the assumption right now, we'll talk about the Seahawks in a second, right, their game against the Niners, that Russ is Geno. Like, unless Russ goes out there and has a Russell Wilson game, and maybe that makes the next game, Niners Seahawks, like a difficult one, because who knows when and if the switch is going to get flipped for Russ. Like, I'm operating under that assumption right now, that the Seahawks need to be treated like that. That was my mistake. I actually don't think Washington deserves a lot of credit here. I think it's just Seattle's really bad. I make the Raiders a 4-point favorite. Damn it, you know what? I don't know if I'm ready to do the blood routine, like the silver and black blood, like I did on Thanksgiving, but I'm going to end up betting the Raiders at anything below a field goal, assuming like injury reports are okay. You know, I don't even know if I want to wait. I'm going to bet the Raiders. I'm going to be on the Raiders this weekend under 3 against Washington.
Yeah, I don't blame you. In terms of where the number goes, I think it'll be interesting. I have not seen a ton of movement in a lot of places on this game. Up to three more likely than just staying in this zone? I guess that's a really good question. I'm not really sure what the answer is. I guess up to three is a little bit more likely. So we'll kind of see how this goes. But yeah, it's rare that we get to this point in the season and we have a game like Monday Night Football, like the Seattle Washington game, where I have a game like this one, and I'm just like, I don't know what my number should be. Like, I'm more confident it should be what it is than it should be like pick or one. But man, like, Seattle really just throwing a wrench into every type of handicapping operation we got going on here. When you have it's sort of Denver-ish from early in the season, actually, that's a really good comparison. When a team, you just look at the market and you go, well, the team's not even close to that rating. So what is going on? Like, am I the idiot or is the market the idiot? Usually me, usually not the market. But with Denver, we had that earlier in the year. Denver was being rated like some Super Bowl challenger, basically, against a bunch of teams. And with Seattle, we've had a bunch of weeks where that's been the case, too, since Wilson came back. So I think it's like thrown a wrench into kind of how to rate their opponents going forward, too. Yeah, I'm with you. I think more likely that field goal 3.5, something like that, is the correct number, as opposed to, you know, that Washington at some kind of tiny number is valuable.
By the way, do you know if the regular season were to end today, Washington would be in the NFC playoffs and Minnesota would be on the outside looking in? Like, imagine that being a thing that's actually true.
Do you have the matchups up right now? Would it be Heinicke v. Brady again in the first round? I'd be curious.
I don't.
Because I know that Green Bay be the bye?
No, Green Bay's the 2.
Arizona would be the bye.
Arizona's the bye. I think it's...
So it would be Heinicke v. Rodgers?
I think it's Heinicke v. Rodgers is the 2-7.
Okay. All right.
I think it's Ram. It would be Rams-Cowboys, maybe?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Scott, see if you can find this. I would
this
open
is
up...
What, and this is what we have to start doing. Did I say next week we would start doing it? 2 weeks from now? When were we going to start doing it?
I feel like we could do it this week. I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, maybe. Well, maybe next week. Let's see how the kind of the scheduling goes. We for people, you know, real ones, people who've watched the show for a long time. Last year, basically, like the last month to 6 weeks of the season, every single week, we would simulate the NFL playoffs and Nick would advance teams every single time based on the seeds as they existed or as they were at the time that we did the simulation. I would give my numbers for the games and Nick would kind of pick winners and advance teams. So I think we had talked, Nick and I have texted, we had talked about doing that either next week or the week after as we kind of get to the end of the year, because I think everybody really liked it. I know, Nick, I think it was, Nick, I think it was your favorite thing we've like ever done on the show, basically.
Well, it's like your favorite exercise. I love it.
Yeah, well, but now you're actually making your own number. So you could really like make your numbers ahead of time. Like, you don't need my number to help you make a decision about kind of like what you would bet in the game. You have Nick's number, which is even better. It looks like Scott's typed some seeds in our chat for NFC. What do we got here?
And I do have it in front of me here. It is my favorite exercise. Beats the hell out of the Peloton. You bet BetQL Network. Terrific Tuesday, Costos and Barkley. Arizona's the one seed, and the matchups on Wild Card Weekend would be as follows in the NFC. Packers hosting Taylor Heineke and the football team. The Bucks hosting Jimmy Garoppolo and the San Francisco 49ers. And the Cowboys and the Rams in Dallas. You want to talk about a monster rating for a game? That would be it. That would have to be, I feel like, the Sunday afternoon game, right? Not the Saturday night game would be Dallas and the Rams.
San Francisco-Tampa would be a pretty massive number. That'd be like a pretty... Like yeah,
Dallas
be,
and the Rams is like the dream.
Oh, yeah. No. This isn't me saying one would be better. Like, I mean... Yeah, San Francisco-Tampa, like, the media markets involved are not as great as Dallas and Los Angeles, but, like, yeah, Brady against the 49ers. I mean...
Yep. Are you interested in the awesome AFC matchups right now? Just
yeah, for... I'm interested in all NFL playoff projections. That's pretty much
just
what
for bleeps
in
and giggles. Baltimore is currently the one seed, which is like absolutely hilarious. So Baltimore currently would have the bye. The two seed is the New England Patriots right now. They would welcome in Justin Herbert and the Chargers in a game where Herbert would probably go like 9 for 31 and throw 4 picks. The Titans would host the Bills.
How many times the Chargers and Patriots play in the playoffs during Belichick's era? 3.
And the Patriots beat them every single time.
Yeah. There's a. I remember. I literally called out sick. My first
Troy Brown game was the most notable one.
My first fall winter at ESPN in 2006. I called out sick when I was not sick. So did two friends of mine, and we watched the. I think it was the Sunday afternoon Chargers Patriots game. I think it was wild card. Might have been divisional. In San Diego.
Yes, this is the game that got Marty Schottenheimer fired. Marlon McCray, Tom Brady,
Rashay Caldwell caught like the like the 60-yard pass down the field that put the game away from Brady. Like that's like the play that basically won the game for the Patriots. So I was like, good job by me calling out sick after working for a major company for 3 months. That was great.
Well, listen, here you are. So it worked out.
Somehow moved on to bigger and better things. Somehow that happened.
Now you get to hear my melodious voice for 4 hours a day, 6 days a week. Other games, 2007 AFC Championship game, which I still hold that the Chargers would have won if Rivers and Tomlinson were both healthy. And then they played a couple of years ago in the divisional round after the Chargers beat the Ravens, actually, in Lamar's first playoff start.
And the market in that game.
Brutalize them in that game.
Yes, and everyone bet the Chargers in that game. And I don't mean everyone like the guy down the street. Like everyone, even like people who had influence, everyone bet the Chargers in that game.
And it was 14-0, like in the first, like with like 6 minutes left to go in the first quarter.
That was, for people who have seen the Showtime series Action, that game was documented very high, like prominently in that show in terms of like people betting one side or the other. Because the market movement in that game was interesting. The Chargers were the very popular underdog of that postseason, basically, in that game. Everybody thought the Chargers were going to win.
Yeah, and the Patriots killed them. So yeah,
and they did, as has often been the case. Yes.
The other AFC playoff matchups would be Buffalo at Tennessee, a rematch of a game we saw on Monday night about 6 weeks ago. Kind of feel like this one would go differently. And then Cincy at Kansas City would be the 4-5 matchup, which would be super fascinating. I think Kansas City would win, but I mean, it could be a high total in that game. All right, let's move on. I want to make sure we leave enough time for Slap in the next segment. Niners at Seattle, P squared, B squared, week 13. The line at Bet Rivers, Niners -3.5 in the Pacific Northwest, total 45.5. Niners off the 34-26 win over the Vikings. Niners on a 3-game win streak. Seattle, of course, off the aforementioned 2-point loss last night on the road in our nation's capital. Ken, pen, pencil, blood, or blank, Niners laying 3.5 in Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, somewhere between blank and pencil Seattle, probably at this number. I mean, just like... I know that Seattle's like Denver was earlier in the year, and I have to just put blinders on when I think about their games. I can't even use ratings or my number. Like, the team's just broken from a market rating standpoint. You just can't, I mean, just have no idea what their rating should be. I don't think the market has any idea what their rating should be, because I think there's that conflict of how the team is playing versus how the team has previously been rated and how they performed. And those two things are literally in direct opposition right now. The team is playing at a level and it's the same quarterback and the same coach, which is why it's broken. It's the same team, from a quarterback coach standpoint, and most importantly at the quarterback position. But the team is not playing anywhere remotely how they played before, and there is a lot of kind of off the field chatter about why that is. And I think that makes a team really tough to create a baseline rating on. So when this opened 2.5, you could almost see the residue there of the old Seattle ratings. Like that's like an old, like my, if I use my Seattle number, that's like Russell Wilson's still good, this team's still good and everything, I get San Francisco by 2. So like, that's a, that again, it was, they tried to do the same thing with the opener. They tried to be like, nope, old team, like same team, they're still good. And everyone who bet was like, nah, like not the same team. So it's just really funny, the juxtaposition between like the opener set by the bookmaker, which uses a rating for Seattle that probably thinks they're still good, and everyone who bets, who is like, no, they're not. That's why the market moved, obviously, through the key number of 3, which is really interesting. I think we have to know that Seattle's like Denver. I think we have to handicap their games not using like a baseline rating or my number or something. We have to handicap them completely differently. So I think that makes me very reticent to make a bet on this game right now.
I made the number exactly the same. Niners 3.5. But there's like you just said, I think
there's no way you're doing that using previous closes. Like you're doing what I'm saying we should do, which is to sort of like intuitively think about it. Yeah.
No, I came up with a number for the game, and then I said, well, Seattle is X points worse than this.
Right. I came up with a number for the game, and I said, but Seattle's also awful. So what's my awful tax?
I came up with a number, and then I said, okay, now Geno Smith is starting for Seattle, not Russell Wilson. What should the number be?
Now honestly, Carol Soros is roaring. What's going on?
I'm being serious right now. If you told me Geno Smith were starting and it's Niners minus 3.5 in Seattle, I think I would take the Seahawks. But it's Russell. Like, I don't think you can bet. I don't think I can bet this game. I think this is a blank for me right now.
I don't think San Francisco 3.5 is that far off from what it would be if Geno Smith was starting.
Like, yeah, agreed.
What are the Cardinals closing that game? 3.5? What did they open in that game before Kyler was out?
So, 2, like, right? 2 or 2.5?
Yeah, it was 2. I just brought it back up. It was 2.
It's wild. I have a couple more thoughts on this game we'll get to on the other side. Then we'll talk Monday Night Football at the Bills and Patriots. And then we wrap up week number 12. He's a slap. Monday Night Football. Carol Soros edition.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
It's Nick Costos and Ken Barkley on You Better You Bet from BetQL.
We are 20 minutes away from an NBA conversation with our pal Brian Scalabrine, Odyssey Sports NBA insider. I want to talk to Scal about a bunch of topics in the association, including what the 76ers are going to look like now with Joel Embiid back, winning last night against the Orlando Magic, but failing to cover the spread. We'll talk about that and more with Brian Scalabrine to start hour number 2. Also in hour number 2, the most important segment we do every single week here on You Better You Bet. And it's not just us that think it's important. A lot of content creators in the space also love it. The games that Ken Barkley has already bet and monitoring for this coming weekend in the National Football League. Knish still to come. Adam Rittenberg still to come. James Mazzola still to come. Power Hour, Final Hour, all our bets for tonight. And how about this, Ken? Top 25 Knicks since you gave out Ohio State Duke last night in overnights. And I tail all the overnight plays every single night. Top 25 Knick going elsewhere for a play in the top 25 tonight. A little Purdue Florida State action tonight for top 25 Knicks. So excited to give that
potentially a wild game, too. I mean, just Purdue is just, I mean, really dump trucked, railroaded, whatever, every team in their path so far this season. But Florida State, different type of team, obviously hyper athletic. That's not going to be what Purdue faces most of the year. So how do those pieces kind of fit together? Purdue, a massive favorite. And if I remember correctly, it's like 11 or 12, which is weird.
That's right.
To see Florida State that big of an underdog against somebody. But that's how well Purdue has played this year, and probably justified, to be honest.
And also want to give a shout out again, Philadelphia One on Twitter, Bill Matz, our technical director. Another incredible night in the NHL. I bet all of Bill's plays every single night, and they are great because like they win all the time. So
this
Bill,
is like the most insane run you could possibly imagine too. It's almost like we're underselling it, but we sell it really hard, but we're still underselling it. It's like actually really crazy.
It's like I'm shocked, and it's like the bets, they win by a mile. Like, we had the under last, right. Bill, what was the score in the Penguins Flames game last night? Like 1-0 or 2-1? We had under 5.5. It's unbelievable, man. Like, it's 2-1. I'm telling you, like, it's for, we have like the hockey Billy Walters is on our show. His name should be on the marquee. We should be fired. It should be the Bill show.
Yeah, that's crazy. And to your credit, you do it, you sell it extremely hard and justifiably so. And yet every time when you come on and you're like, yeah, he went 8-0 again, I'm like, do we need to be selling this more?
like we should be running commercials, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, good at the five-star plays. It's
Bill
Quell
needs to come back, right? Like, actually, Bill Quell.
No. We're not putting any voodoo on Bill. That's not to say BetQL is voodoo, but we're not messing with the mojo is what I'm trying
sure.
to say. Philadelphia won. Yeah. Bill Matz, our brilliant technical director with his NHL picks. Those are coming up. 8 games tonight on the ice between the pipes. In the power hour on You Better You Bet. But let's wrap up P squared B squared for week 13. So Jake, please bring that recommends back up. We'll get to He's a Slap momentarily here, just on like the Niners and Seahawks, just like last thing for me here on this game. I just feel like it is such an impossible game to bet, because if you, the person listening, watching, you, Ken, or me, Nick, if we bet this game, it is a total guess as to what Russell Wilson we're going to see. Like, will this be the game where Russell Wilson turns it on? Like, all of a sudden, he can feel his hand again, right? And feel his fingers. And he's driving the ball down the field. And he's not, you know, acting timid in the pocket. He looks like Ben Roethlisberger out there. Like, he gets the snap. He turns his body a little bit. And he's looking to get ready. He doesn't even move. He's a statue back there right now. He's afraid to get hit. He doesn't trust himself. But, I mean, what happens if on the first play of the game, he, like, scrambles around, runs around for 3 seconds, then hits Tyler Lockett down the field for 60 yards? Like, and we lose.
Which is totally possible. By the way, if that's the Wilson you think you're going to get, this total's like 3 points too low, by the way, if that's the Wilson you think you're going to get. The Niners offense is a juggernaut right now, and Seattle ain't stopping anything. So, like, this total is almost, like, everything about this market is weird. Everything about this is, we have no idea what Seattle to expect. It is very odd to be at this point in the season and look at a team and be like, shrug emoji. I mean, not even a guess about what we could see. If you told me Seattle was a bottom five team in the league right now, like their true rating, I'd be like, yeah, okay, Wilson's terrible. The defense is the worst in the league. If you told me they were actually like an upper third team that just had like a couple poor performances but was going to turn it on here, I'm like, well, it's Russell Wilson. It's like a prime season of his career. Maybe he can be healthier. Like, all of these things are still possible. It's week 13. Like, we're supposed to know who everyone is by now to some extent. And Seattle obviously thrown a huge wrench in that.
Yeah, and Deebo Samuel going to be out for a couple weeks with that groin injury. That's going to affect the on-field handicap here. We'll talk about this game, obviously, more as we move along this week, but I just feel like it's just a really, really difficult game to bet right now. So blank for me on the Niners and Seahawks. It's not going to be a blank for me, even if I have, like, no edge and, like, have no thought, because it's going to be an awesome game, and I want to bet on it.
That's
next Monday night.
Blood blank or action.
or action. Or, like, I need to, like, I have to scratch the D-gen edge coming up next Monday night. At our show sponsor, Bet Rivers, Ken. I don't know if it's like a flat 2.5 or like maybe it's close to coming back to 3.
Yeah,
I'm
it's 2.75.
Right,
it's actually closer to 3 in most places.
The Bills existing in between 2.5 and 3 favorites at home over the New England Patriots. Buffalo at 7-4, New England at 8-4, currently in first place in the AFC East. The total in this game is really low. It's at 44. I don't know if you have a thought on the total, but Bills 2.5 or 3 at home against the Patriots. Total 44. Buffalo off the 31-6 win in New Orleans on Thanksgiving. The Patriots off the 36-13 railroading of the Titans on Sunday in Foxborough. Pen, pencil, blood, or blank in the game of the week coming up next Monday night.
Yeah, I have a couple thoughts on side in total. For side first, my number is 2.75. Like, it's literally, I like even went out one more digit just to see if it was between 2.5 and 3, because that's where it's been ping-ponging back and forth since it opened. Opened 3, went back down. Now it's come back up again in the last couple hours at a bunch of places to 3. I think that's correct, like, for the most part. Like, my number's the same. I get how we got here. It all kind of makes a bunch of sense to me. That being said, Buffalo, a game at a very hostile environment against a very good team, not a dynamic the Patriots have been faced with so far a lot this year. And we played that bite in our open either this week or last week where I was like, no, they haven't had to. It doesn't mean it's a test that they can't pass, but it's also just not something that we've seen a whole lot from them so far this year. You know, their road games, the Patriots road games so far this year have been the Jets, Houston, the Chargers, who have no home field advantage, Carolina, and Atlanta. Those are the Patriots road games so far this year, all of them. So if it's like, how can this game be different than the 6-game winning streak that they've ripped off here against, you know, some pretty good teams? At Chargers is a good win. Cleveland's a good win, especially by the score that they won the game by. It's not poking holes in that 6-game win streak. It's asking, like, is this the crescendo on that kind of like run of games? Is it going to be the best performance and really like put a stamp on going into their bye week, their performance? Or is it likely to be a step backwards based on what we've seen? And despite the fact that the number is the same, I'm actually more inclined to believe it will be a step backwards because it's like a type of game that we haven't seen the Patriots play in a very long time since they've been on this run. So I think at 2.5, especially, I think I would be like pencil Bills. I have not bet the game yet because my number is the same. I think it's actually very likely I will have a bet on the Bills in some way in this game. A couple additional thoughts. Teasing the Patriots in a low total game seems like the absolute nuts in this situation, just going to be honest. So if like low total game through 3-7 with an underdog like this, I think makes a lot of sense. And in terms of the total, I think I'd actually be more likely to play the over for a bunch of different reasons, which we can kind of detail throughout the week. But it's Buffalo in December, and I would like to see a more updated weather report in a few days on this game before I make that decision. Because this can, we've seen games literally last year between these teams with hideous weather that caused the total to be bet down. Now, that was the Cam Newton New England Patriots, so obviously not the same. But like, it's Buffalo in December. A lot of things with the total are possible in the game. My first thought would be probably the over, and I think I will have a Bills ticket. We'll just see what the entry point is.
I make it Bills 3.5. My question was like, how much is Tre'Davious White potentially to the spread? I feel like in this particular game, given that New England is without an alpha number one receiver, I feel like that's something that will hurt Buffalo like in the playoffs against different
Like a macro
opposition.
Like hurts their kind of like big picture philosophy. I totally agree with that.
I don't know. Maybe it's a half point in a game like this, and maybe it's actually more significant. Maybe it's not even that much, but I just feel like it's something that's worth noting. At least I still have the Bills at over a field goal here. So for me, like if the number is going to be 2.5, I'm going to end up with a ticket on the Buffalo Bills. If we have time remaining at the end of the segment, I'd like to talk a little more about this game, but want to make sure we get he's a slap in. So Jake, we can kind of fade down the old YB recommends, and we'll put a bow here on week number 12 in the National Football League. And man, I was pretty heated last night because I absolutely love the Seattle Seahawks, and having to watch that idiot on the sidelines, that stupid look on his face is really starting to bother me. So this is a special Pacific Northwest Seattle, Washington edition of He's a Slap to wrap up week number 12, Jake, in the National Football League. Oh yeah, we're pissed. I lost money last night, man. Not happy about it. Now this version of He's a Slap, it begins in the past. And I ain't talking about last night. I ain't talking about this weekend. I'm talking about 65 million years ago. 65 million years ago. In the Cretaceous period. I had actually never heard of the Cretaceous period. I also didn't pay a lot of attention in school. Familiar with the Mesozoic era?
It's after the Jurassic. I think it was Triassic, Jurassic, Cretaceous. I think was the
How the hell do you know that, man? That's really impressive.
There used to be a poster in my third grade science class. I just would remember. I memorized it, yeah.
Okay, so I know this, the Cretaceous period, because I Googled it earlier today. The Cretaceous period. The Cretaceous period in our world on planet Earth did not end with a whimper, as T.S. Eliot would say, to paraphrase him, but it ended with a bang, a literal bang. That would be a meteor that wiped out one of humanity's favorite historical relics, the dinosaur. 65 million years on this planet, humans went without seeing a real-life dinosaur. Now, we saw them in film. Shout out to Jurassic Park. We saw them on television. I'm the baby. Gotta love me. But we hadn't seen a dinosaur in the flesh until January 11th, 2010, when the Seattle Seahawks hired Pete Carroll away from USC and brought the Carrollsaurus into the National Football League. Now, over the course of the last 11 years, we got to give the Carrollsaurus a little bit of credit, right? You know, multiple division championships, double-digit win seasons, two conference titles, and a Super Bowl, and ironically enough, would have had back-to-back Super Bowls if they would have run instead of passing, now they do the exact opposite all the time here, which is absolutely incredible. Now, some would say that we would give the credit to Russell Wilson, right? That Russell Wilson and the players would deserve the credit, but Pete Carroll at least deserves some of the credit. It makes me think, Ken, of the line from Friday Night Lights, clear eyes, full heart, can't lose. Well, for Pete Carroll, the Carrollsaurus, little arms, small brain, run the football. It's over. The Cretaceous period in the National Football League is drawn to a conclusion. The Carrollsaurus needs to be made extinct. No more running in obvious situations when you should be passing. It would be like lifting weights all the time with a future first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback and then wearing long sleeves. What the hell's the point? No more kicking and punting when you should be aggressive. No more aggressively chewing, smacking away on a piece of double mint like it owes you money. And no more glazed over septuagenarian stare on the sideline. It's done, Pete Carroll. They said on the broadcast last night, Pete, what'd you do over Thanksgiving? And he said, I spent time with my grandkids. Good. Age 70. That's what you should be doing, Pete. Leave. Get the hell out of here. Get the meteor home, Carrollsaurus. It's over. And spend all the time you want with your grandchildren away from the sideline. Stop costing us money. The Carrollsaurus needs to be extinct. Pete Carroll, he's a slap. Hour one done. Hour two for you coming up on the other side. And we start Odyssey Sports NBA Insider, Brian Scalabrine.
It's You Better You Bet from BetQL. Download the BetQL app today to get the latest analytics to help you beat the sportsbooks.